This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
You're out of eggnog.
I'm out of eggnog.
Yeah.
You're out of eggnog.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. We've been talking some Sabres again today. If you want to get in, please do. And if you want to talk about sports, the return, life, that can be arranged. 803-0550. If you wonder where the phrase taking someone to the cleaners comes from, I'm your guy. I happen to have just looked that up. So I could just tell you now and then everyone will know, or you could call in and ask, and I'll tell you that way. Whichever.
Or people could call in and guess.
Yeah. Why don't you take a guess yourself if you don't know? What do you think? You ready to guess?
I would think it's you take a coat or pants or a suit to the cleaners,
mm-hmm.
and they are going to clean out the pockets. So if you haven't, you might be losing things that were in those clothes, and that's taken to the cleaners. So I took you to the cleaners. I mean, I cleaned you out means I cleaned out your clothes, and you left. You had, you know, $50 in there, and now the cleaner has it.
Not really. Okay. Once you started talking about the pockets, I think is when you got the buzzer on that, because
really?
The pockets are not a part of this.
Really? I like the pockets the best. I thought that was the best part.
Well, it's debatable. But it comes from how, like, when you would clean someone out, you would take all their money. Like in the old days. Maybe in a gangster movie you would hear that, or in It's a Wonderful Life or something. Like, I'm cleaned out. And so, from Google, when dry cleaners became places in whatever years that happened, then people would just sort of extend that phrase out to, I'm taking you to the cleaners. I'm going to clean you out. And it didn't have to mean money anymore. So I'm going to beat you. I'm taking them to the cleaners. Right? No. And then cleaning cleaning someone's clock means the clock has a face, and it's kind of an extension of that, like punching someone in the face, cleaning their clock. You like that one? Which one do you like more?
I'm still hung up on how I'm way off on pockets if
way
dry
off.
Cleaners is a part of the Google definition of the origin of the phrase take you to the cleaners.
Because it has nothing to do with stuff that's in your pockets. That's why.
But what if the dry cleaner doesn't go through your pockets?
The dry cleaner might go through your pockets, but the things in your pockets have nothing to do with the definition.
Okay.
It's not about taking stuff out of your clothes at the dry cleaners. It's just like cleaning someone out, and then now we have places called cleaners, so we're just going to use the, like,
I see.
Okay. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got you. All right. Yeah.
I mean, if you want credit, sure.
I don't know. I had something good happened yesterday. I don't remember what. I'm all right.
You're still sort of living off that thing from yesterday you can't remember?
That I can't remember. Yeah, right. It was vital. Yeah, yeah. I'm all right over here.
Yeah,
So what's this about cleaning the clock now? Sorry, I was distracted.
The face
by
of a clock.
Yeah.
Punching someone in the face, cleaning their clock, beating them physically. I brought it up at home today because I was playing a baseball series with a guy. I'm like, you know, just sort of kidding around, like, I'm going to clean this guy's clock, Julius. And then I thought about it, like, you know what that means, actually? And he guessed right. Not like so in so much detail, but like just winning by a lot, winning easily.
Yeah, winning by a lot. Like cleaning your clock, I think, like, the clock has a face, but the clock also has, if you're cleaning a clock, I would think you're cleaning the inner workings of the clock. Like, I'm going in on you. I'm going to clean your clock. I'm gonna rewire you. You're not even gonna know what happened to you. You're gonna be so messed up after I'm done with you.
Right. So there's a couple of things.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about
car wash thing. I don't know.
I'll save the car wash thing again. I never just sort of. There was a chance to use it, and I didn't want to lead with it, so I led with cleaning clocks.
Yeah. I have a question about whether. I have a question about your dog, like about dogs in general.
All right. I can't wait.
Have you noticed, and I'm wondering if anyone in our audience has noticed, is your dog behaving differently through this period where, like, you and your family are maybe, like in my case, someone is always here? I think Sunday we all went out together, and it's the first time the four of us had gotten in a vehicle and left the house. And not left someone behind. So, like, that has happened one time in 10 weeks. And I think our Fred, like, about a couple of weeks into this pandemic, Fred began refusing to come inside when called. He goes outside, and usually if he's out there for 45 seconds or for 45 minutes, you open the door, and it's, woo, water, food, petting, love, whatever. I'm going to come running. I'm here. You don't have to call me. I hear the door, and I'm there. Now, for more than a month now, he is just sitting out there, and you open the door, and he looks at you. And then you call him, and he just sits there and won't come in.
He's
and
sick of you.
Right. If you pursue him, he'll start running around the yard like it's playtime and still not come in. So, you know, we've taken to letting him just, you know, weather permitting, he's just sitting out there. He doesn't do it in the rain. Like today, he'd come right in. But I think he's sick of everyone being here. I don't know what he has to do when no one's here, but he ain't getting to do it, and I think he's pissed off. I think he's just like, why are you? I've got dog porn to watch, yeah, and you're here. Why are you here?
What would that
you're
actually
in a robe.
Be?
What are you doing? I don't know. He's got stuff.
He
I don't
wants
know.
His
he's
space.
Just, yeah. Like, I'm in his seat on the couch at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's mad. I don't know. But he's still fine when he's here with us. You know what I mean? He's basically the same dog when he is inside, but when he gets outside, he's just like, I don't really need to be getting back in there with all you right now. I'm all good out here in the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if that's something that is other people are noticing or experiencing with their dogs, because Fred is never, like I said, he's never acted like that ever. Like, he sprints, he sometimes wipes out, he runs so fast to get in the house when you go to let him in.
You know, my wife does this. She goes outside and we call her to come back in and she doesn't. So that's what comes to mind here. She likes to just stay out, so we're like, Carolyn, dinner. She's like, no, I'm just gonna stand out. Doesn't say anything. Very moody. I don't know. I don't have like a real good comparison from home, because the overriding thing about our dog lately is just how old he seems. Samson is struggling a little bit more to get up and down the stairs, to go outside, and like just sort of, he's a little bit more listless. Mm-hmm. And that's the conclusion we're drawing, is that, I mean, he's 13, and yep. He's got a little bit of a bad back, so I feel like maybe he's hurting a little bit. But I have no read on whether he wants us there. I have no read on that. Carolyn talks about that Samson is so sick of us, and we went car shopping recently, and we're all out of the house for like that, and he's too old to just come running when we're home. Like, I don't know if he was happy or mad about that. He's just sort of acting old, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a good question. what dogs really want here. It seem, yeah, they seem to know. Like people. Yeah. They seem to like having people around. But maybe not always.
He still gets super fired up when we do come back. Like, when we were out on Sunday, like I said, all of us were away. And he is like, you know, he's in the window, you know, that looks out on the front porch, watching us coming in. You can see him sort of stamping his little feet, like, oh, yeah, they come. Awesome. So, like, that's all still normal. But this thing with the backyard, I just think, like, he needs a little Fred time.
Well, you got to give it to him then, somehow.
Right, right.
If that's what you're deciding that he needs. Because they don't tell you when you ask them. They don't tell you.
Right, yeah. I'm just guessing. But, yeah, I think that's what's going on there.
I don't know. What should be right?
I don't, you know, I think anything that's a change in the routine might be an adjustment for an animal. And so the routine is obviously very different.
Including us.
Right. So, but, yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard. Maybe I will now. I'll get some people who'll respond on Twitter or whatever. And clue me in if they've noticed anything like that with their pets.
All right, yeah, you can let us know. Tweet at Bulldog. What is your latest? I mean, I shouldn't be. So, I'm not unwilling to get it back into Eichel. I just feel like we've said in the last couple of days about the Sabres, we've kind of said everything, and like nobody has called in to comment on it. I don't know. I just feel like it's a little bit played out, but I probably shouldn't. This would be a good time for like to have our boss here, where he said like, you know, don't forget. And right. Enough with cleaning clocks and Fred. I mean, just don't forget. It's 5 o'clock. You know, don't forget. But I'm sort of admitting that. I do want to have another conversation, just sort of an updated conversation on our predictions or just general feelings about what it looks like for fans in football. Because I think what we've had this week so far is pretty positive. It's New Jersey and Pennsylvania saying teams can start practicing again. California backpedaled on its lockdown stuff. So with the Bills in an outdoor stadium, maybe it will vary. I think we're still not at a point where this is really known yet. I don't think there's an answer that the NFL is holding that we could know, because more time has to go by first. But to sum it up, whereas a month ago, I'm sure I thought training camps and certainly the preseason were just forget it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would say that today. I don't think it's forget it.
Yeah, and furthermore, I don't think I'd even want to say fans in some capacity being involved by September is like far-fetched, because of how I think things have been positive enough that I can see that now as more of a possibility. Whereas I think, like you just said, like a month ago, I might have told you, sure, they're going to play. They'll start, but I don't know, you're going to be able to safely put people, especially with all this talk of like a second wave of the virus in the fall or something to be concerned with. And that still might prevent the league or even governments, whether it's state, local, national, whatever, from saying, yeah, go ahead, open the gates and 72,000 people can show up and be sitting elbow to elbow on an 80-degree day in September. Like that still might sound nuts.
Did you see Iowa State? Did you see the Iowa State thing?
Iowa State, yes, I did. They are going to have like half capacity, basically, or a little less than that, maybe a third capacity.
25,000, some sort of a limit on fans, right, what they're preparing for.
Right. Thank you. I knew I read, I did see that yesterday, and it's one of the reasons why I'm trying to make this point about it being more realistic that at least on some level that there's fans, there's attendance, but it's just not, you know, capacity crowds. Like it feels like that might be very realistic right now.
Yeah, and like we would take that, right? I mean that idea is it's a long way from where we were a month ago. Or at least I was. I mean, it's a lot more optimistic than that. It just, you know, a month ago seemed more like, and I don't begrudge this. Like, I don't think that this is something that was not appropriate or at the time or anything. It seemed right, and precautions have been taken, and I think they've been meaningful. So if it looks better now, maybe it should look better now. Maybe it's good. Maybe it sort of works that it does, because people have made, you know, good choices. I think that it does look possible that the Bills could play their home schedule, and maybe they won't have 70,000 people screaming and high-fiving all day. You know, the Bills are good now, so that is the kind of scenario you can envision, right? Yeah. But some sort of limitation on that could be achieved and considered doable. How does that come to fruition, though? Like, that would have to be how one decision is that from the league, or would it have to be 32, where it's the teams and their municipalities who decide how many people can go and where they have to sit and whether they can buy food and drink and whether they have to wear a mask, right? Like, how do those decisions get made? How many people make those decisions? And when? Like, if they don't know now, because they really can't know now, but they have to be going through contingencies, and that means maybe it's Mark Poloncarz, maybe it's Andrew Cuomo, maybe it's other people on whatever level joining together to figure out what they could do with the league.
Yeah, I would think they've got to be working on contingencies, because they're selling season tickets. They're collecting money for season tickets. So, you know, not that they sell out their entire stadium with season tickets, but you're going to have to make some accommodations. If you were to have, like, an Iowa State scenario from earlier in this conversation, you know, obviously there's going to be people that are not from the same household that have tickets next to one another. And, like, who moves? Where do you move? Like, how, like, what is the, are there financial ramifications to that? And there's a lot of stuff to unpack there. And I think you'd be not doing a thorough job to not be considering it. What you might be hoping is that you do all this work preparing for only having, say, 25,000 fans in your stadium, and by the time mid-August gets here, someone goes, you know, within authority, like, you know what, everything's fine. You just did business as usual. Open it up. And then you just don't have to do any of the stuff that you were planning on perhaps having to do, but you better be ready for it, because it definitely could still happen, I think.
I mean, opposed to what? The league all going to some centralized location or locations like hockey is talking about? I don't know. I don't think that that's necessarily more realistic than this. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up again, because the last time we talked about it, I feel more optimistic than I did. And so positive's good, right? I mean, that's what you want to focus on.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to me so, like, just sort of a, I don't seem blind in saying that. I feel like I'm pretty woke about the whole thing, but I think we might be headed there. And I think people, whether sports is the context or not, I think people have learned a lot about how we can interact in healthier ways, you know, or just, like, in a certain sense, healthier, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other side of that, using that word, the other side of that, I mean, there's a cost in how we're not interacting. People need that. But we're still figuring out ways to do it. And I think the timing could be such that by the time football rolls around, everybody will be very happy to celebrate and be somewhat together, not like before, but better. And that's especially nationwide. It's especially if baseball does not get it figured out, because while here, maybe, you know, like you and I talk, take it or leave it. But in a lot of this country, it's more important than that.
Sure. Yeah.
And if baseball can't play, sure, hockey, maybe sure, NBA, but sure, golf, but football is the sport. College football too. The South, the Midwest. I mean,
yeah.
It's a big deal, so I don't know. I feel pretty good. 803-0550 is our number. Jack Eichel and Rasmus Ristolainen, among others, speaking about the Sabres' ninth straight playoff season. Not quite that many for them, respectively. But both guys were very serious about just where they're at on this team. And I thought both were impressive because of it. We'll talk about that a little bit more. 803-0550, again, the number. The update after this. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hadn't thought about Elvis for tomorrow. How do you spell Elvis? How do you spell Elvis? Elvis. I like this song. This might be my favorite Elvis song. Is he a rock singer?
Sure.
What else could he be,
is
right?
Is his nickname the King of Rock?
Just the King.
The King of Rock
Joe.
And Roll. The King.
The King.
Okay.
I read an article. Why did I click on this? But I did. I don't know. I pride myself in not doing this, but today I just did. I clicked on one of these articles that you see come up. Links to them come up in everything that you read because you want to read it. You know, 24 reasons why Maryland is misspelled all the time. Like, whatever, just the dumbest things. And this one was, it got me because I wanted to know the answer. Click on, it was the secret, or something like this. The secret of what happens to Jenny at the end of Forrest Gump is finally revealed.
Uh-huh.
Somebody listening right now would have seen this on their feed today, because it's not like I am always clicking on things pertaining to Forrest Gump. It's not a movie that I care about that much. I know you've never seen it.
No, I did eventually. We watched
it. Oh, you did?
A few years ago, I watched it with the boys and Kirsten. I said, like, all right, let's do this. I'm going to do this. You guys will like it's appropriate for you now, and I've never seen it.
I have to stop saying that.
Yes, but for a very long – I still have never seen Top Gun, if you want to make that
point. Oh, that's worse. Well, okay. Forrest Gump was the more acclaimed movie. Maybe it's not worse. So. But I feel like Top Gun is more fun to watch. Anyway, so I click on this thing. Oh, I got to find out what happened to Jenny. I thought I knew that, but I guess I didn't know that. And it was just like thing after thing after thing about Forrest Gump with ads in between each thing. And I gave up. I read like 15 of them, and then I'm like, I'm not even going to sit here anymore.
Right.
I refuse to find. Now I will never even, if somebody starts to say around me, you know what happened at the, I will run. I will refuse to find out.
Run like Forrest Gump away from that person.
I will run like Forrest Gump. But I did learn a couple of interesting things about that movie that I didn't know. One being his running, since you bring that up, a lot of that is Tom Hanks' brother running.
All right, never knew that.
I didn't ever know that he had a brother or anything, and there's a picture of the two of them in this article, and this Jim Hanks looks a lot like Tom Hanks, naturally, and they used him for a lot of the running. Okay, so that's one thing.
Okay.
He did a lot of the running in that movie. And the other is that there is an Elvis voice in there somewhere. Somewhere in the movie, Elvis talks. You know how he meets like Richard Nixon and JFK. And at some point in the movie, there is Elvis Presley speaking, and that's Kurt Russell.
Okay.
And it says that, and I mentioned this recently for another reason, that there's a TV movie or a made-for-TV movie with Kurt Russell as Elvis.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
I brought it up.
I've seen that.
Yeah. I brought it up because we had just watched Miracle, and it was, after watching Miracle, I'm like, kids, you want to see the actual game from Lake Placid? So I put that on, and it was on YouTube, and there was some commercial break in it. And in that commercial break is tonight's movie of the week is Kurt Russell as Elvis, like from 1980.
That's awesome.
That was really funny. We just watched Kurt Russell play Herb Brooks, and now he's just in this commercial.
That's great.
Anyway, so that's why I had thought of Elvis today, is because in Forrest Gump, there's an Elvis part, and it's Kurt Russell, who's not in the movie in any other way, who voiced that part.
All right. Well, he must have gotten such rave reviews for the TV movie depiction of Elvis that he was used to depict the voice of Elvis in Forrest Gump.
Right. It must have been that good.
Yep. Who we get to impersonate Elvis? Get the phone book out.
Yeah, it's like it's really hard to find anybody who'll do it.
Right.
Where are we going to find an Elvis impersonator? those aren't anywhere. You'll never have any luck. So tomorrow, the rock singer draft. Want to do the draft order now?
Sure.
All right.
I think it would. I'll bet Myers would like to know where he's picking. I gave him some sort of how long the segments are, how many people he should expect to have to draft, etc. But I did not explain the third round flip, so we'll have to make sure he understands what's going on there. But the draft order would, I think, be helpful.
The third round flip. All right, so here's your number. We do alphabetical by first name. Chris, Jeff, Joe, Mike. Okay, so you're one, Joe's three, I'm four, Jeff is two. I'm going to spin random.org and just quickly read out the numbers, then we'll know. 3-2-4-1. Joe has the first pick. Jeff Myers has the second pick. I'm four, I have the third pick, and you're on the turn.
All right.
It goes Joe... First overall, Joe.
That's pressure.
Jeff Myers looming right behind you, looking right over your shoulder. Right. Noted rock critic. Here's Joe, who thinks Mike Ditka was the coach of the Saints.
He was.
You were kidding, too, I know. Right? Then Jeff is second. I am third. Do you have a guy you'd want like that's important to you to get first?
No.
I like this guy, by the way. I like this idea when I thought about this.
No, I don't. I really don't. I think I almost prefer not picking first.
Okay.
Although I think I could have if I had been first. I think I could have made a very good case for whoever I was going to take. That shouldn't be hard. And maybe it would have been a surprise. I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow, I suppose, because I guess I might hope that it would have been enough of a surprise that maybe I could still get this person at four. So I don't mind where I am. I think that it's a very deep pool. Like a lot of these things, it's very much personal taste. At least as far as like the big, you mentioned Steve Perry earlier. Like I can't deny he's a great singer. I would never pick him in a million years. Just because I don't dig the music. And I'm gonna try to pick people that I at least like listening to, that I would actually put on. Right. So just being a great singer doesn't really get it done for me. The music's gotta work for me too.
Joe has shown a country flair in his drafts before. He's drafted country music.
Yeah.
Who is the... Is that just out? I mean, rock singer, there's rock and country. Oh. But there's right. some crossover. Like, is there somebody from the country world you would think of for this that works, that qualifies, if you will?
Mm.
What does Don Henley do? Like, Don Henley, that's not country music, but that was country rock, right, in the beginning? Like,
yeah,
Take It Easy?
At the very beginning, for sure, yeah.
That
yeah.
guy, Bernie, was that his name they had?
Yeah, Bernie Ledon, yeah. Or Ledon, I'm not sure how you say his last name, but yeah. And, I mean, Take It Easy is Fry, but still, like, there's a country.
No, right.
The Eagles were a country rock band when they first became known. So they evolved from there. But so, yeah, I mean, you know, that blends both. There's lots of people that are sort of maybe more current. Like Jason Isbell is on my board. What the hell is he? I mean, he can sing. He sings rock music. He sings country music. He sings folk music. He sings everything.
Yeah. What's the difference anymore?
I don't know.
What's the difference? Does it have to be a certain thing to be rock? I really don't know. And that might sound like a stupid question, but
I mean, maybe the top country vocalist that I might think of might be Patsy Cline.
Oh,
or it could be Johnny Cash. Hank Williams. Like, these are legendary singers and performers in the country world. Dolly Parton.
Mm-hmm.
Was a country. I don't know if she's still. I guess she's a country artist.
Are these people eligible, though? Because.
Is that rock singing?
I wasn't prepared. Like, if it is, I might get to George Strait tomorrow.
Well, you definitely should.
That's not
rock,
I don't think.
I said yesterday we were talking about this, and I texted this to Myers. Is it just so you know, like, eligibility wise, my thinking is everyone from Aretha to Zappa. I went A to Z.
Oh, look
and,
at you!
Like, so Aretha Franklin is no more rock and roll really than George Strait. I don't think. I mean, she's blues and soul, but it's, you know, there's not like classic rock and roll music there. I don't think, like, she's in a different genre, but to me those singers definitely should be eligible. But unless you guys think not, like, if you want to just stick
not know how to disqualify anybody, and I really just don't like my footing for that, especially with Jeff. Like, that doesn't count. Well, you know, this was an E chord or something, so that's why it's rock and roll.
Right.
Or people,
you
know, smoked weed in the crowd, so that's why it's rock and roll. Like, I don't know how to disqualify anybody, and that makes me just not want to draw lines.
Yeah, I think we'd be. I don't know. I mean, country artists are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, to me, that's what I was thinking, and so is Aretha Franklin. And so I thought anybody who's eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is eligible for this.
That sounds good to me.
George Strait may never get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I don't think he should be excluded because he's but I'm not sure on that. Country's a weird one. Like, rock, rhythm and blues, straight up blues, folk. Like, that all falls more under rock and roll than country does, but I think we'd be making a mistake to exclude country. So I think they have to be there.
Okay. Well, sounds like pretty much anything goes tomorrow. We'll see. 3-7 for the show, 4-6 for the rock singers draft. You know, put it in quotes if you need to. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
I love what Sean McDermott has done with rebuilding that team. The defense, I think, is the core of that football team. And like, say, the New England Patriots and even a couple of other teams, I think the Bills are doing a great job of building their defense from the back end to the front. Coverage comes first in today's National Football League. You and I both know it. You can't let teams throw it over your head. You can't give up big plays. And this secondary is easily one of the best in the NFL for the last 3 years.
Solomon Wilcots appearing on One Bills Live today. That was the clip. Sal Capaccio coming up. Sal had a smart idea to look back on last year's season and go game by game. Some of his observations that he remembers from that game, even from the week leading up to it. And we'll talk to Sal about that coming up. I think that's a really good idea. I'm going to do that with the 1988 Milwaukee Brewers. Mm. Just every game and what I remember about it and what I thought about the game leading up to it. What do you think? A lot of articles. A lot of content.
Yeah, they played 162 games back then, right? That was the...
Ish.
The number? Ish, okay, right.
I caught my, caught in quotes, I caught my first major league ball in Milwaukee. County Stadium. Take that away from me. Probably someone did. I don't know where that ball is.
Foul ball or was it a home run ball?
It was a foul ball hit by Darrell Hamilton of the Brewers. He later played for the Mets. I liked him as a Met. I probably always liked him more than I should have because of that one ball.
Sure, yeah. You two are always going to have that. You can't take that away from you.
I was with my then-girlfriend, kind of low in the crowd on the dugout, near the dugout in Milwaukee, third base. And it was just like a simple pop-up into the crowd. And the only thing I really remember about the moment is that I had my hands on the ball with another guy.
Oh.
And like I wrestled it from him. Like I won the battle for this ball with this other guy.
You didn't let the other guy win.
No. Right. My instinct. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Right. You take
often
it.
Say you don't want to win so badly. You, if someone seems that they really want to win, you just as soon let them win. Playing sports, playing games.
That's right.
It's interesting that you wanted the ball.
I wanted it was my first ball, and I wanted to have that in Milwaukee. So I wrestled it from the guy like quickly. You know, it wasn't like a drawn out thing. Wrestled it from the guy and had it, and then my girlfriend is with me, and I'm like, okay, I'm cool, I got this. And then I looked, and the guy was like 80. I didn't even know who the guy was. Like, just people around you swarm, you know, whose hand. It didn't. I don't remember anybody else sitting around me or anything. It was just like kind of some kind of mayhem. And I had the ball, and this other guy did it. I got it. Look. Oh.
Right. Mm.
So if it's a kid, you give it to the kid. But if he's 80, you don't give it to him.
Right, I was going to say you could have inadvertently done that to a kid, but then you would just give him the ball, I think. But
yes.
Yeah, 80,
yes.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's
yeah.
more of a thing now than it was in 1994. But
yes,
I think, sure, I probably would. But, you know, I was sort of, I felt a little bit bad, you know, right?
Sure, yeah. This is, forgive me if this is a dopey question. I mean, you know, this is Miller Park.
No, County Stadium.
County Stadium. County Stadium. Okay, it predates the newer ballpark. Okay.
Yeah, I went to a few games there. And then I've been to Miller Park, and it was fine. But, the old place. So, there it is. Sports quota filled.
Did you could see Bernie Brewer slide down the slide into the beer?
I think so. Okay, I think so. In the new stadium, at least.
Okay.
Yep. In the new stadium, we had the TV seats. Like when you're right behind home plate. My wife and I went to a game in Milwaukee, and we were like in the picture all game. Yep. All right. So as I mentioned, Sal coming up, we'll talk AFC and a look back in particular on last year's opener. Stay tuned. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.